Hey, this is WTOP's Jason Fraley, and we are being joined by, just say your name and your title.
Oh, I'm Timothy O'Leary, the General Director of Washington National Opera at the Kennedy Center.
Yes, and we are talking about an event that is not at the Kennedy Center for a change. It is going to be at Nationals Park because it is Opera in the Outfield. It's going to be this Saturday, August 24th, starting at 6:30 p.m. Well, doors open at 4:30, but the show is at 6:30 p.m. Hey, thanks for joining us.
It's a pleasure, Jason. Thank you.
This is, as we were sort of joking at before we hopped on here, this is sort of like an annual tradition now. I love checking in every year and inviting people to check out opera, maybe in a different space. But hey, what year? Speaking of which, what year are we in now? How long has the Opera in the Outfield been going?
This is the 19th time we've done this. It's an annual tradition for us. It's one of our favorite days of the year because it's like a gift to our whole beautiful community to invite everyone for free. To come see the opera on the Nats Park Jumbotron. It's so much fun.
I love it. And you said it's the 19th edition. Can I say 19th annual, or did COVID mess with the math?
Yeah, no, we did miss the year in COVID. That's true. But we can say annual because it is annual, just in cases of very special circumstances.
Right. I'll say the 19th. Why not? All right, cool. Well, before we go into the actual details of which opera you'll be doing and all of that, just big picture, like paint like a picture of you know, how it plays out if folks show up, where is it projected or, you know, shown on the screen. I mean, you said the Jumbotron, but just give me another soundbite of, you know, the layout of the venue and how it actually unfolds.
Yeah, sure. So this is what the whole idea is, that this is fun for the whole family or for anybody, you know, people of all ages, to come check out something absolutely gorgeous and fun, you know, in the middle of downtown at Nats Park. If you get there early enough, you can get one of the spots on the outfield grass, and you can lay out your blanket and be there with your popcorn, peanuts, and Cracker Jacks, and watch the opera on the Nats Park Jumbotron. And, you know, the sound is beautiful, the picture is beautiful. And before the opera, you know, broadcast starts, there's all these family activities for the 2 hours. We open the doors at 4:30, and we've got balloon twisters and an arts and crafts table and photo opportunities with our costume designers. You can meet members of our orchestra and play some of their instruments. Your kids can, of course. And the whole thing is sponsored by Mars. And so that's part of our favorite, you know, activity.
Chocolate company, not the planet.
Yeah, so that Mars, that's right, the chocolate. So we offer samples of Mars chocolate, and you can guess the number of M&Ms in a thing, and you get to receive a Mars gift basket if you win. And you can get your picture taken with red and yellow, the life-size M&Ms who'll be there.
The delicious Mars. If you can picture with red, it's not the red planet. You didn't get a whole planet.
Not the planet.
The planet didn't sponsor this, but no. It should. It should. They'll hear the singing, the voices belting all the way on Mars. That's great.
Definitely.
All right. Awesome. All right. Well, then without further ado, which actual opera performance are we going to be showing this year on the Jumbotron?
Okay. So this is Puccini's opera Turandot, which is the last opera that Puccini wrote. Puccini was like the master of big, romantic, beautiful Italian opera.
Like,
I mean, this is
La
the
Boheme
kind of
and Madame Butterfly and all those, right?
That's right. In fact, the most famous opera tune in the world is from this opera. It's the one that everyone's familiar with. It's like the soccer world anthem. It's called Nessun Dorma. Luciano Pavarotti used to sing it.
How does it go? Chant it a little bit.
Okay, it goes da 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 da. But it
people
sounds
have turned
lot.
That into a soccer chant.
Yeah, it's for whatever reason. It was like the World Cup adopted it as its unofficial anthem years ago, and it stuck. It's this guy singing in the middle of the night about how he's going to win big in the morning. And he is so excited he can't contain himself. And so it's this wonderful tune just about like taking on the world.
And so to hear that what has become a soccer chant echoing across a baseball stadium, it's kind of, it's going to be fitting, right? It kind of has a sports feel to it.
That's absolutely right. And you know, the opera is it's huge choruses, big spectacle, colorful, beautiful. The character of Princess Turandot is the most powerful female character ever written for the stage. And then this production even has a twist. It sold out completely when we did it in the spring at the Kennedy Center. And one of the reasons it sold out completely is that we actually had a new ending written because Puccini, this was his masterpiece, he died just before he finished the opera.
Oh
So the
no.
last 10 minutes, he didn't get to finish. One of his students put it together and it was, you know, always fine, but it wasn't as great as it could have been. And so we actually commissioned a new generation of a composer and librettist to rewrite the very ending of Turandot in the spirit of the original. And so it is so fabulous. But what's so fabulous about it is it gives Princess Turandot this like iconic character, like the ending that she has always deserved. I was
Wow.
amazed because the audiences loved it, but even the serious music critics like the Washington Post loved it. So anyway, it's a re it's, you get to see history being made as well if you come.
So I want to go into a little more into her character in a second, but real quick, I want to follow up on something you said. So you said, so if it was unfinished and it was only recently finished,
Yeah.
because he died. How was it performed over all these years? You know what I mean? Like, did they just perform the unfinished version, or have different
No,
people
well, okay.
tacked on
So
different endings, or?
if you want the whole story, Toscanini, Arturo Toscanini conducted the first performance in 1924, and he actually ended it at the point where Puccini died. It's an unbelievably beautiful chorus, and it's just 10 minutes before the whole thing ends. And he laid down his baton and he said, "That's it, folks. That's all we're doing tonight." That was the first performance. But then, of course, the audience wants the story to end. So they had one of Puccini's students, a guy named Alfano, piece together the notes that Puccini had taken and come up with a good enough ending. And the whole thing is so spectacular. The whole, 2 hours has preceded, so spectacular. No one's ever minded the kind of not really perfect ending that we've had for 100 years. So what we did, it came into the public domain because it's 100 years old. And so we said, hey, the ending is fair game. Our artistic director, Francesca Zambello, had this idea. And especially because in like the modern world, the strong female character should make her own choice at the very ending about where her life is going. And that's the little tweak we made. But what's amazing is Christopher Tin, who wrote this music, he spent just the whole time, like the whole 2 years he was working on this, immersed in those sketches that Puccini had left. And so he wrote something that is so true to the Puccini. We think it's even truer to the original than the thing that his own student created.
Wow, that's great. And we actually that's a name that might be familiar to folks of this show. We had Christopher Tin. Gosh, what was it? Oh, he played the anthem. He had something called "To Shiver the Sky," which came to the anthem a couple years back. And
Okay, that's it.
I believe he is Christopher Tin is the first composer to ever win a Grammy for a video game. Like, so a lot of people might know him from that space as well.
So you're so right about that's another reason it sold out when we did this in the spring, because he is a serious composer of gorgeous sweeping music, and the niche that he has is writing music for video games.
Nice.
So he won the first ever Grammy Award for composition written for a video game, Civilization IV. And he's got a huge following among people who love video games. And so we actually did something at the Kennedy Center where hundreds of people came to what we called the Christopher Tin Sing-In, where he conducted them. There was something called the Washington Metropolitan Gamer Symphony Orchestra,
Okay.
and they played his music and people sang. It was incredible.
Wait,
So
so are you
yeah.
saying that Christopher Tin gaming concert was what sold out at Kennedy Center, or do you mean the performance of Turandot that is going to be replayed here at Nats Park that was sold out?
Both.
All right. Well, there
We
you go.
the gamer concert was a way of kind of spreading the word and drumming up interest in the opera, and it absolutely worked. So we had all generations of opera goers, people who were at the opera for the first time because they'd heard about Christopher Tin's music. And then this is one of those operas where people have seen it, you know, dozens of times and they don't get tired of it because it's so beautiful.
I love it. And then just to put a pin in that one, that conversation about finishing the unfinished opera really quick, because you're giving me so many things I want to follow up on, but I'm trying to keep them straight in my head. But yeah, so Christopher Tin wrote the Grammy winning composer. He wrote the music, the ending that like hadn't been finished yet from the sketches of Puccini. And then there was also the playwright and screenwriter Susan Suhi Stanton, is that right? Helped write the like I guess the written story of the ending, I guess.
That's right. So Susan Sunhi Stanton is famous for writing the television show Succession, right? So she knows how
You
to
may have
write
heard of
an
it.
ending. That's right. You've heard of it. So we thought, okay, wouldn't it be great to get these people who are not from the opera world, who have kind of a fresh perspective and who write in like the media that are so popular today? You know, Susan's a playwright and television writer. Christopher Tin writes symphonic music and this video game music. And so, you know, that's a lot of what made opera so popular in like the 19th and early 20th century in Italy. Was this was like popular entertainment. And so we asked them, okay, write something that's really going to be true to the original, but will speak to today's audiences. And they just absolutely nailed it. They hit the center of the target. So all the opera traditionalists love the ending, and the people who are new love it, and the critics loved it. I was amazed.
Oh, that's fantastic. Well, there you go. I mean, you're writing this story for me, but it's like, hey, come see one of the Emmy-winning writers of Succession team with this Grammy-winning composer from video games and other stuff, Christopher Tin, to finish the acclaimed Puccini's work. I mean, it kind of writes itself. It's thank you so much. It's great.
It's my pleasure. And but the main thing is, it's like a fun, like the story of Turandot is a fairy tale essentially. So the basic premise is it's set in kind of like a mythical China, and it's the idea that Princess Turandot is the daughter of the emperor, and she can only be married to a prince, and that she doesn't particularly want to get married. So they've come up with this thing where a prince can marry her if the prince answers three riddles correctly, but they're insanely hard riddles. And so if the prince doesn't get all three questions right, the prince gets beheaded. And so there's been
Oh my
all these
gosh.
princes who have come and lost their heads, literally. And so everyone's terrified of doing this, but then Prince Khalaf shows up and everyone warns him, don't do it. But he takes one look at Turandot. He falls deeply in love. He says, I'm doing it. So he signs up for the three riddles. And well, guess what?
All right. Well, yeah, I'm a little Ned Stark, Game of Thrones beheading, I guess.
Well, and that's the dilemma at the end, because you know he chooses her, but a 21st century audience, you've got to see the princess choose him as well. And that's the part that we clarify in the new ending. It's so beautiful.
I love it. I mean, I have more than enough to work with, but remind folks, it's sort of the question I ask every year, but it always gets a great soundbite out of it of how this is sort of, performing this in a baseball stadium, when the Nats are out of town, while the season is still going on. But talk about how it sort of expands, hopefully it grows the interest in opera, maybe to a realm that people, the diehard opera fans probably saw it at the Kennedy Center, or maybe they couldn't because it was freaking sold out. But yeah, like how it's sort of like widening the tent, open a bigger umbrella of opera audiences by doing it in the outfield.
Yeah, well, we're so grateful to the Nats for opening up a stadium every year, letting us sit on the outfield grass with the whole audience. We're so grateful to Mars for sponsoring it, because this whole thing is a gift to the community, and it's about getting thousands of people together in this wonderful venue to enjoy something beautiful. You know, a baseball game is beautiful, but to hear this music in that setting, to be outdoors, you know, on a summer evening in Washington, D.C., with your family. I always bring my three kids, and they love to run around in the outfield grass while the music is playing. And it's informal and fun. And there's plenty of seating, by the way, in the stands themselves. So if you prefer to have a chair to sit in, you can sit in the stands. We get, 5 to 10,000 people, depending on the weather. And the thing is, opera was invented to, you know, it was the Broadway musical theater of its time. Opera was invented to be fun and entertaining and beautiful. And over the years, it's kind of accumulated this reputation for being so formal and stuffy and, you know, even elitist. And so doing opera in this context, like the baseball stadium, a place where people feel so welcome and at home, and where the vibe is so informal, and you can be eating your food and drink and whatnot while you're enjoying the show. That's just part of our mission. And the people who love opera love it. A lot, you know, all the thousands of people who came to the Kennedy Center to see the Turandot in the theater are coming again to the opera in the outfield because it's so much fun. But then it's also such a great way to come for the first time. We also we do some strategic shortening of the opera. So I mean, you get the whole thing, but a few nips and tucks here and there, so that it's not such a long evening. So it's good for families, and it's just a lot of fun. And being together, right, and enjoying something beautiful across our differences, this is what people love about the event.
Absolutely. Perfectly said. Final seconds. Remind our listeners really quick, A, that it's free, and B, like play up the whole thing, like that, how, you know, if you missed it, sold out at the Kennedy Center, here's your chance to see a free, you know, rebroadcast with a bunch of people outside. You know what I mean? Like, kind of like the urgency of, you know, if you missed it, this is a cool free way to still see it.
Absolutely. Okay, so doors open at 4:30 on Saturday night, and the opera plays at 6:30. The whole thing is free, and you know, we were delighted that it sold out completely. All of our performances at the Kennedy Center, all seven performances, sold out in advance. People couldn't get a ticket, so this is your chance. If you had to miss it this spring at the Kennedy Center, then you can come for free and see it outdoors. It's going to be a perfect summer evening in Washington, D.C. That's my absolute conviction. And it's just to hear that music echoing across like the buildings downtown, it is so much fun. And if you get there early, there's lots of family fun and entertainment, especially opportunities to sample Mars chocolate.
Love it. Again, everybody, it's the Washington National Opera presenting Opera in the Outfield for free. So this Saturday, August 24th at Nats Park. Get your tickets now. And it is Puccini's Turandot. Am I saying that right? Turandot?
Oh, great question. I say Turandot, and that's what most people in the opera world say, but some people say Turandot, and
Turandot.
nobody's right or wrong because it's a made-up word.
Oh, so it's like Bardot, DOT. Turandot. Okay, I
That's
got you.
right.
Not to be
But yeah.
confused, it is, you are near, you're down near the Navy Yard. It's near the where they have the Capitol Turnaround venue, but no, this is the Capitol Turandot.
That's right. You got
There you go. A pun
it.
that will not get used on the radio, but I'll probably just leave it in this interview if anyone makes it to the end. Hey, and thank you so much for doing this. I really appreciate it.
Jason, it's a huge pleasure. And thanks again.
Always.
Take care, Jason.